Regeneration is the action or process of being reformed, regrown, or created again, restoring lost or injured aspects of oneself. Join Josh and Kit each week as they discuss what it looks like to seek and to find Jesus in the areas of identity, intimacy, and sexuality. If you'd like to discover God's design for your life and how to live it out, this podcast is definitely for you.
I have a long, sordid history with fear. It's been a part of my life literally for as long as I can remember. I remember being afraid of the dark. I remember being afraid of snakes being at the end of my bed. I remember being afraid of kids at school, being afraid of asking a girl out, being afraid of being rejected by a girl, being afraid a girl would like me. I mean, all sort of just fear, you know? And it's something I've really started to get after much later in my life, but it's still something I wrestle with, especially in the area of parenting. And so we're going to talk about that. We don't have all the answers, but we're just going to have a conversation about fear and parenting and what fear does to parenting, what fear does to kids. And maybe we'll even get to a way or two that just might be a better way for parents. So, Kit, how has fear played into your parenting?
It just occurred to me when you were saying what you just said that I don't think I was a fearful person until I became a parent.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think I was particularly fearful. But wow, that changed. And I remember feeling that moment when my first child was born and Greg saying something like, from now on, we're going to live with our hearts outside our bodies, you know, kind of thing. Like, whoa. And I took the responsibility really seriously. We'd waited for a long time. All that's good. But I also remember something happened where I began to be like, I've got to get this right. They've got to get it right. There's a way to do this. There's a way not to do this. And we'd better stay within the boundary lines. And that's not a really healthy way of approaching it.
Well, I think you're speaking the language of a lot of parents, a lot of us, because there is a sense, and I've wrestled a long time with fear, and it certainly kicked up, you know, a couple notches on the volume meter, you know, when my kids are born. And I think with different stages and different things they go through, it, like, you know, it ramps up.
Yeah.
But there is an element of, like, even for those who don't struggle with fear, when we watch our kids, there's something I don't know, there's something about that produces more fear in us. What would you say that is?
I think fear is stirred up in any parent. For me, we waited so long. And in some ways, I think it became an idol to me, you know, having a child and being a parent. And so I just really, I think, put a lot of pressure on myself to do it right. And I also think we were new Christians. And so we were being kind of influenced in some really good ways, but maybe in some other ways where there's, you know, in fact, there was a book back then that we read that talked about keep your children in these boundaries. And if they don't stay in those boundaries, you better discipline them. So I think there was some fear in that book that, so I thought, well, I'm going to be a good Christian parent, then I better, you know, walk the straight line. And so I think I hadn't learned. And I did enjoy my children, but I think when it came to, you know, what they did or didn't do, I think I was really nervous and scared that maybe I wasn't up to the task. Maybe it was more sobering than I thought it would be, and maybe I'm not going to be really good at it, so I better, like, toe the line.
So what are we afraid of? I mean, we're afraid that what's going to happen? I mean, what's the dread, you know?
Well, I think part of the dread is that there's a way to live your life, and if we don't parent perfectly or right, then they won't live their life the right way. And then we will have failed. We would have been failures. Maybe we'll look a certain way to other people if our children don't do the right thing. You know, some of that image stuff. And, you know, you fall in love with this child and you just, there's anything, it's like nothing more matters to me in the world, really, in some ways, than this child being okay.
Okay, so I hear a few different things. Like, one is, look, there's a vulnerable human being that I'm responsible for, right? Especially when they're little. And if I'm not vigilant and taking care of them, they really could get hurt because they don't know better.
Yep.
So there's just, I think, some of that good fear, you know, just kind of awareness there's danger in the world. And I didn't have to used to pay attention to it in my house before, at this pool before, out in the mall before. But now I do because there's somebody who needs me to be protective of them. There's this other thing that just is a ton of pressure we put on ourselves that if we don't do this parenting thing right, then our kids are not going to be okay in the world. They're going to, they're not going to be able to hold down a job. They're going to, they're not going to follow Jesus. They're not going to have good relationships. They'll make poor sexual choices. They'll use drugs. They'll die an early death. They'll get in an accident. I mean, you know, right?
So yeah, absolutely. All that stuff.
And so there's some of those are all real possibilities, right? But it's but there's this added thing that you're sharing that I think I can relate to. I think a lot of parents can relate to with this idea of, and it's all up to me.
Yeah.
You know, I've got to make sure that this, and this doesn't happen so that this, and this can happen.
Yeah.
Is that a fair pressure to put on parents?
No. Because when you think about it, there's an enormous variety of influences over a child. Clearly, parents have a significant influence, and we do want to be thoughtful and prayerful about how we love and how we care for our kids. And it's not all up to us. You know, we don't have control over, you know, all these things that happen. So I wonder if I would have been able to say, do the best you can every day. You know, start your day in love, trust God a little bit more. You know, I think there would have been a lot less angst in my own soul and a lot less angst passed on to them.
So here's something that's helped me in as I'm wrestling with fear as a parent. I think it speaks to what you're talking about in that this idea of – it helps to kind of disassemble, break apart that idea of like it's up to me. Because I, 'cause if I were to kind of track that constricting in my own gut about like I got to get this right or my kids are going to whatever – I think really the end that I'm after is my kids won't need a savior. I can if I do a good enough job as a Christian, then my kids will not actually need Jesus. I will have been enough Jesus for them. Yeah. Now, theologically, like I just know that's not true. And so if it is true, and I think it's been in Christian airwaves for parents, like raise your kids like this so that they will turn out.
Yep, absolutely.
And if we've all fallen short of the glory of God. If we all need Christ, if we all need His intervention in our lives, then it's not all up to us. There are other factors here, and it doesn't take long in parenting to recognize. If you, I would say. So I've got 6 kids in my house right now. And I could say like they're all so different. So I might have something with one kid that I can help kind of direct them. But man, somebody with different like it's just there's so many different variables.
I also, when you said, you know, are they going to follow Jesus, that something came up for me, and that was, you know, our kids, first of all, we know it's the Holy Spirit's conviction in someone's life. Mm-hmm. And certainly we want to, you know, say the right things, do the right things with our kids and other people. But this fear of if they don't follow Jesus and that it's up to me, and it becomes this, I think it communicates to the child something that's not very compelling or winsome. And again, of course, we want to pray about that. We want to talk to them about it. But I'm just thinking that I think sometimes there's a lot of fear just attached to that. And God's writing a story for them where they may wander, like the prodigal son, that it happens.
Yeah.
And so how do we interfere actually with our children's desire to know Jesus in some of this too? Because we're fearful rather than trusting.
Yeah. Gosh, that's such a hard but good word. And if we don't need to be our kids' savior, and we're not by in any stretch of the imagination saying that parents do not have a significant influence in their kids' lives or that they're not supposed to.
Right.
I'm a firm believer that mom and dad are meant to be our kids' kind of archetypal image of what God is like. I
mean, yes.
I think that's part of why God has given
It's part
kids
of this
parents,
design.
Right? Mm-hmm. My kids will know something about what it means that God is their father by their experience of me. No matter what anybody says, their experience of me is going to imprint on them what it means to be in relationship with a father. So we're not trying to negate there is responsibility that we have, but we're trying to remove some of the fear that gets tangled in there. And I think that what you just said makes a lot of sense. When I think about my own story, if you were to ask me like why do you love Jesus, I would point to the things that I did that my parents weren't glad that I was doing, and the way that he loved me out of those things, how he met me there.
Right, right, right. It's taking when we follow the it's up to me and I can control this and I have to, you know, kind of make it happen and say all the right things and put all these boundaries, we negate the whole idea that we've talked about before of suffering, that there are going to be times that, and in fact, maybe the very place they're going to find their faith is because they have made a choice that's killing us that they made it. But without despair and without some sense of, wow, I need a savior, how are they ever going to know him?
Right.
So, of course, we're going to try to protect really bad things from happening. At the same time, you know, we have to understand that this life is mysterious in that way.
Right. And we're really getting down to the difference between a works-based righteousness and a faith-based, a grace-based righteousness.
Yeah.
Except now we're talking about, like, how do our kids become whole, righteous people? Like, is it through our works or is it through God's grace? And I think, you know, and God bless those kids who grow up in an environment with parents who are supportive and who decide at a young age to follow Jesus and kind of don't stray from that and really end up just loving the Lord in their lives through their experience of their parents. We need people like that in the world.
Yeah.
And if that's true for them, it's by grace. And for those who wander far from home and whom the Lord brings back, it's by grace. That relieves some of the pressure off.
Yeah,
parenting.
And I wonder too.
Maybe, like, not all, but some.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think you're right. There are some people who grow up in a Christian home and they have a lot of order, a lot of stability, a lot of truth, a lot of grace, a lot of love. And they may make really good choices. And at some point, though, they need to be prepared that life is going to get difficult.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
So protecting and parenting out of fear isn't going to prepare them, even if they make these good choices developmentally in their younger years. At some point, we don't want to not prepare them that God is in your life. He didn't promise that everything's going to go great. He said he'd never leave you. And so, again, you don't want to be like, and so bad things are going to happen, so you get ready. But we also don't want to give them a false illusion that, you know, there's going to be hard things. And how do we prepare them for that?
Yeah. I mean, so let's talk about this a little bit. Like, what is fear? So I have two questions. One, what does fear look like in parenting? What are some of the ways we fear or we parent out of fear? And then what does it do to our kids?
Right.
And then I'll have another question after that. But like for me, I think I know that I'm parenting out of fear when I start getting really angry. Yeah, I mean, sometimes there are other things going on, but anger is not a primary emotion. It's always a result of some other underlying thing, a more vulnerable emotion. And for me, very frequently, that's fear. And so, you know, when my kids run out on the road and I yell at them at the top of my lungs or whatever, it's fear. It's fear.
Yeah.
So I think my anger, my being more uptight, more kind of holding them with a little tighter grip or a lot more tighter grip, that's fear.
Yeah, and mine is, you know, controlling too. It comes out of that safety. I you know, like I'm a little over the top on safety and I really pray about it and ask my kids forgiveness, you know, because it's one thing to, you know, tell your kids to be safe and pray for them to be safe, but it's a whole nother thing to be like, okay, now be safe and call me as soon as you get there. And then so it creates all this anxiety in me. I'm not going to God and saying, Lord, I know that you have her and I can rest in that. And she's not receiving. Oh, my mom trusts God. I can trust him too.
Yeah. Yeah. So another, I think, so I like the, you know, call me when you get there kind of thing. Helicopter parenting.
It's alive and well in my home.
You know, we're gonna check over your homework every night and make sure it's exactly right, and I'll be in touch with your teachers to make sure that everything's happening right at school.
And yeah, and what do we?
When there's a conflict with another student, I'm gonna be there.
And what in the world does that communicate? You know, that like just tight control kind of thing.
Yeah. So what does that do? What do you think it does to a kid when they experience parents being fearful? I mean, you mentioned one. I think it does convey to our kids some, you know. Again, since we are the archetype of what God is like, I think some, like, God's like that. He really doesn't want to mess up.
And so I think that there was that. I think my kids sort of felt like, oh, wow, gosh, God, this whole Christianity thing's pretty oppressive.
Yeah, I wonder if my kids have gotten some of that too. Yeah.
And I'm so sad about that because, you know, as I've gotten older, I'm continuing to realize more and more the freedom that can come and the rest that we can have. And so, you know, we do the best we can, and I did too. But I just look back, and I've talked to my kids about that, you know, like I know that, you know, there was some of that, and I'm sorry about that.
So some of those, like, you know, I'm gonna look tightly at what you're looking at on your phone, and I'm gonna, you know, watch what you're watching in the movies, what music you're listening to, that kind of fear-based stuff. And I think that, like that gives this perception of God as this, he's in this, you know, he's in the sky, or he's hovering over your shoulder, looking for you to screw up or looking for you to make a mistake, as opposed to a different perspective of God that's not fear-based, but involved nonetheless.
And it does, so that does exactly what the opposite of what we want it to do. Like, what child is going to want to follow an oppressive, controlling, angry,
fearful
God like that? Who's going to, you know, so it's funny how it backfires.
How about that? So here's the other side of things. So John writes that perfect love casts out all fear. So what is, in contrast to that, what does it look like to parent in love, knowing that there are dangers out there?
I mean,
maybe even let's get specific a little bit, like with kids. I mean, kid, if you were to look back what does it mean for my kids' devices and how they use their devices? It doesn't mean that I'm going to be completely checked out and just say, yeah, you know, take it to your room, spend all night with it in your room and do whatever you want. Like, I want to be involved. But I think it has meant for me, like, learning to not ask every time, what are you doing on your phone?
Right. Right. And so, and again, every situation's different. Every parent's different. Child is different. There are principles that we can go by. But, you know, have conversations with your child and just be honest with them about, you know, some of your concerns and how do we work this out? It depends on how old they are. You know, if they're 10, it's a different conversation than when they're 16. But, you know, this is kind of a thing that you can do. Conversations, ask questions.
You were saying something earlier, like have fun.
Yeah, seriously.
So, you know, I think one of the things that my wife and I learned as we were walking through a really difficult season in our marriage when we were early on, a difficult issue in our marriage, and we learned we can't always talk about it. We actually have to. So we actually segmented it to say you can talk about it here, but we're not going to talk about it again until we get here. And I think with some of those things that we fear for our kids, like setting a boundary for yourself or for you and your spouse, like we already talked to him about it. We're not going to bring it up again. We're going to leave it alone.
Yes, absolutely.
And talk about other stuff and have fun.
Absolutely. I think that's huge. I think that's absolutely huge. Because, again, if we're the person who's representing, you know, someone who loves God and who's trying to be more like Christ, then what do we want to communicate with them? We want to be loving. We want to be patient. We want to be lighthearted. We want to be trusting. You know, we don't want to be always on the lookout, you know, for what are you doing and, you know, is it the right thing?
Oh, here's another thing I think that fear does to our kids. If I'm afraid my kids are going to screw up, they're going to sin in some way or they're going to get hurt in some way, then and they know it, and they cross a line they know I wouldn't approve of in my fear, then I'm the last person they want to tell.
Exactly.
They're not gonna, like, hey, Dad, guess what? You were right. I was wrong. Why don't you tighten the screws a little bit more on me so I don't make this mistake? I mean, they're going to be like, I don't want my dad to know because it's already bad enough.
Yes.
So, man, that.
Yes, it's really, in fact, I can think of several examples right now where I did it the wrong way and then more recently learned to do it a little more the right way, the better way, and just the difference was, you know, stunning.
So here's a verse, and I think we got to start winding down, but that verse I quoted a minute ago, perfect love casts out fear, from 1 John. I think one of the things that's caught me recently about that verse that's been different, I've always heard it like, okay, so if you're fearing, you need more of God's love. You need to experience more of his love. And I think that's true. But more recently, I've been challenged to think about it. If you're fearing, you need to actively choose to love more. Like the love of God is in you. Love from that place. Live from that place. And I'm not saying that those are mutually exclusive.
Like that.
But when
I
it comes
like
to my parenting, like one of the, and I think I've said this on this podcast before, it's been, this is a game changer for me. When I change my perspective from a fear-based, I've got to do this right so my kids don't get hurt or so they turn out to do X, Y, and Z with their lives. That's a terrible goal. So, you know, I want my kids to remain virgins till they're married and to never see pornography and never smoke weed or do this or that drug. I mean, like, mm-hmm. I've got my list, right?
So, yeah, right.
And those things are all good desires on my part. But when I'm living from out of fear and trying to parent them in a way to keep them from those things, it's less effective, and I'm in a worse place, and I'm relating with them worse than when I say my job mm-hmm. is to do my best to love my kids where they yeah. are today.
Yeah.
And if they should do those things, my job, my calling by God, is to love them the best I can.
Absolutely.
There. And that's a different calling. Like that's me trying to be more like Christ yeah. in their lives, which helps me to yeah. interestingly, it helps me to loosen my grip a bit to
yes,
say
yes, it does. Absolutely.
I know that Jesus can love when you're doing well, and I know he can love when you're doing poorly. How do I know? Well, because he's loved me in those yeah. situations. And so I'm going to try to live from that place in your life as opposed to trying to keep you from all the bad things that could happen.
And that way that you're describing, they will receive love. The other way of parenting, they'll receive fear.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's powerful.
We're still working on it.
Well, me too.
I say it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, there's no way we arrive yeah. at any of this stuff.
If my kids ever listen to this podcast, which they don't, but if they were, they would be like, yeah, Dad, you're, yeah, fear. Yeah, we get it. We see it. Yeah.
I can see my yeah. daughters rolling their eyes as I imagine them listening to this.
So,
because, you know, they know, and again, I think they might say that we've learned along the way, but it is definitely challenging.
Yeah. So I don't have the answers for this. I know that talking about it helps. I know reminding mm-hmm. myself of God's goodness helps, and I know.
Be kind to yourself. Be compassionate with yourself. You know, be like, okay, this is hard. Parenting is humbling. And I think, you know, understanding that it is a process and not beating yourself up about it, it's really important. Telling your kids that you're sorry when you know, things like this come up where you really have parented out of fear and just saying, I'm really sorry. I want to do better. Just be honest and humble.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's an ongoing thing.
Well, I'd like to pray, and if you're listening, I really want to encourage you, don't tune out, because I have a couple things specifically I want to pray for parents listening and that I think will be really helpful for you. So I want to encourage you to stay engaged for a minute longer while I close to pray. So Lord, I think we named some things in this podcast that are helpful, but we're all still in process with, and so we just ask for more of your love to flow into us, or remind us more of the love you've already given. And Lord, help us to parent more out of your love as opposed to out of our fears. Lord, we confess to you that we have made agreements with fear. In a way, we've invited fear into our homes and asked it to keep our kids safe and to help our kids turn out a certain way. But Lord, fear is a terrible master, and it's enslaved us and it's hurt our kids. And so Lord, we confess that idolatry to you as sin. And we ask now, Lord, that you would forgive us. We also now, in the authority of Jesus, we break this agreement with fear. And we say to you, fear, in Jesus' name, that you are not a good ally for our kids, and we don't want you involved in their lives or in our parenting. So we send you away, fear, from our homes and from our families. And we choose instead, Lord, to invite you, your Holy Spirit, to enter in, to teach us, Jesus, to be winsome like you, to love fiercely, to be involved intimately and tenderly and attentively, to be fully aware of the dangers that are around us, but Lord, to be equally or even more so aware of the magnitude of God's love and power. We choose to trust you, Lord, more than we trust fear. We do believe in you, Lord. Help us in our unbelief and continue to grow us in your likeness, even as we ask that you grow our kids in your likeness too. We pray all these things now in the name of the Father and Son and Holy Spirit.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us this week on the Regeneration Podcast. Please make sure to visit our website at regenerationministries.org, where you can subscribe to the show in Apple or Google Podcasts and even Spotify, so you'll never miss another one. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on Apple Podcasts, or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out a lot. Thanks so much for listening. We look forward to being with you again next week.